The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Vayikra el Meshe ve'edaber Hashem el Mei Lemor. Hashem called to Meshe and he spoke to him from the Oel Mei. Daber el bnei Yisrael v'mat alehem. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem, that when a person brings from himself a korban, a sacrifice to Hashem, min ha-behema, min ha-bokar, min ha-tzayin takriv es korbanchem. If he brings it from a behema, from an animal, from the cattle, he should bring it from the cattle, or from the tzon, from the sheep, his sacrifice shall be. Im eile korbonei, min ha-bokar zocho tomim yakrivenu. If it's a korban ole, which is a burnt offering, then it should be a male from the cattle. And he should bring it to the door, to the opening of the oil maid of the Mishkon, as a sacrifice to Hashem. And he should place his hands and on the head of the ole, on the burnt offering. And it shall be accepted to Hashem as a kapor, as an atonement. Then the Torah goes into great detail as to just how the process of the sacrifice should take place. He should shecht it, he should slaughter it, and then the Bnei Aaron, the Kahanim, take the dam, the blood, and they take it to the Mizbeach, to the altar, and then Vihivshit HaSa'ila, and then they skin the animal, and they cut it up, and they put it on the fire on the altar. And the Bnei Aaron, the Kahanim, shall make a fire on the Mizbeach. And then the Torah tells us, if the sacrifice is a sheep, the process there. And then if the sacrifice is an oaf, if it's a bird, so it should either be a dove or a turtle dove, a tor or a yena. And then the Torah tells us, if the sacrifice nefesh ki sakrib korban mincha l'Hashem, if the sacrifice is a meal offering, so he should bring it from wheat. And in this sefer, in this parashas Vayikra, the Torah tells us about a korban eile, a burnt offering, and a korban chatas, a sin offering, and a korban shlomim, which is known as a peace offering, and a korban oshem, which is also a type of a sin offering. And the fact is that the sefer Vayikra, the entire sefer that we're beginning now, is called Teres Kahanim, the laws of the Kahanim, because the majority of the laws in the sefer deal with the laws of sacrifices, and of the Kahanim, the priests, who were in charge of the sacrifices. The sacrifice, the korbanos, is from the ultimate goals of the Mishkan. We have been learning in the past five sedras that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to make a Mishkan, a sanctuary, and also in great detail how it should be structured, and in great detail how all of the vessels should be structured, and in great detail how the garments of the Kahanim should be structured. And the ultimate goal, or one of the basic goals of this building of the Mishkan, was the sacrifices. The Rambam brings right at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Mitzvahs asay, la'aseis bayis l'Hashem. It's a positive commandment where we should make a house for Hashem. Muchon liyais makrivin bei ha'korbonis, v'chegi gineilov shleish pomim ashona. It brings two reasons for this. What does Hashem need a house here for? So it should be a house, a place which is set aside to sacrifice sacrifices, and a place where we will come three times during the year on the Chag. It's the mitzvah of Riyah. So we see that actually the basic goal of this sanctuary was to bring sacrifices to Hashem. And the Chofetz Chaim Zochenu Livrocha writes that there is more Tedesh B'Ksav, there is more written law from the Chamish Yechum Sheteira, the five books of Moses, relevant to the korbanos, to the sacrifices, more than any other chelik, any other portion of the Torah, any other particular mitzvah. So we see here its prime importance. In reality, we find that sacrifices didn't start with the Mishkan. Sacrifices began before the building of the Mishkan, because here we're speaking about the time when Klal Yisrael was in the desert after they left Egypt. For example, the Rambam brings in Perek Beis of Hilchos Beis HaBechira that on the particular place where we are commanded to build the Mizbeach, the altar, in the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Yerushalayim, on that particular place, the Rambam says, is where Avraham was commanded to bring Yitzchok as a sacrifice. Now that was a different type of sacrifice. That was a sacrifice that was aborted. And there, it was a human being. And we don't sacrifice human beings. This was a special test for Avraham Avinu. But it was the concept of a korban, of a sacrifice, was not something that was new. We find that when Noah, during the time of the great flood, was commanded to bring all types of animals into the teva, into the ark, two of each kind, he was commanded to bring seven of each kind of the kosher animals. Why? In order that when he would come out of the ark after the end of the flood, he would bring sacrifices. And the Rambam brings from the Chazal that the place where he made sacrifices was where the altar was, or to be, in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah tells us that Cain v'Hevel, the first two sons of Adam HaRishon and Chava, brought sacrifices. And also the Rambam says they brought sacrifices in the same place of the altar. And Hubay Hikriv Adam HaRishon Korban Kikshin Nivra. And when Adam HaRishon, the first man, was created, he also brought sacrifices. And also right at this place. And then the Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it in Chumash, Umishom Nivra. Adam HaRishon was created from the earth where the altar was to be. Omru Chachomim Adam Mimokim Kaparose Nivra. A sacrifice comes for an atonement, so he should be created from the place which will atone him. He brought sacrifices to this place because this was the altar. At any rate, we see that not only sacrifices was a prime goal, or the prime goal, of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, but also that it didn't start with the Mishkan, but it started much before, right at the beginning of the world. There we had sacrifice. The concept of a korban, of a sacrifice, is something which is very far from people today. Something which is very strange to them. And it is so strange that much has been said and much has been written to perhaps to try to assimilate or to rationalize this concept with modern day thought. And the reasons were given, very superficial, as to what was the necessity of the Korban and its purpose and its concept. These reasons we won't go into, or all of the literature that was written on it. But the fact is, we see that the prime goal of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash, was sacrifices, were sacrifices. And we see that more written Torah is devoted to this than perhaps to any other single mitzvah. And we see that this was something that was incorporated in the Bria and the creation, right from the creation of man. And even though this concept might be very, very strange to us, I don't think it's proper to accredit ourselves, the modern world, with a greater understanding of things than of all of the generations that preceded us. Because what modern man has built, he doesn't have that much to be proud of. Now, the main reason why, perhaps, this concept is so foreign to us is because we have not sacrificed sacrifices for some 2,000 years. At least Klal Yisrael. Because when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then no longer were we allowed to bring sacrifices. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, again in Perek Aleph, Kiven Shenivna HaMikdash BiYerushalayim, once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, originally it was in the Midbar, in the desert, in the form of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. And then from there it was moved to, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was moved to Gilgal. And then from there it went to Shiloh. And from Shiloh it went, they brought it into Neve and Givayim. And from Neve and Givayim they brought it to Yerushalayim. And when the Mishkan came to Yerushalayim, there David HaMelech, King David, designed the plan where it should be made into the permanent structure of the Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. And this was fulfilled through his son Shlomo HaMelech. Kiven Shenivna HaMikdash BiYerushalayim Nasru Kol HaMakemus Kulam. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, all of the other places became forbidden to us to build any type of house for Hashem and to bring sacrifices. And there is no other place that we are ever allowed to bring a sacrifice except in Yerushalayim, Bahara Moriah, and Hara Moriah, which is the Mokem HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. As it states, Hu Beis Hashem Elokim Zeh Mizbeach Le'olel Yisrael Zeis Minuchosi Ade Ad. This is my place forever, Hashem said. So once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which was some 2,000 years ago, then we were never allowed to bring sacrifices again. So this is why perhaps this concept is so foreign to us. The Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim tells us on Daf Kuf Yod Beis, Amud Beis, Ad Shelei Hukam HaMishkon Hoya HaBomes Mutoris. Before the Mishkon was established, then any Jew could bring a sacrifice to Hashem wherever he pleased. And the one who did usually the avoda, the process of the sacrifice, was not a kohen, but the bechor, the firstborn. Once the mishkon was established, then we weren't allowed to sacrifice in other places. We had to bring our sacrifices to the mishkon. And then the avoda was with the only through the kahanim. Then Bole Gilgal, when they moved the mishkon from the desert to Gilgal, hutra bomes. The bomes, the other places became permissible again. We could bring sacrifices in other places. Bole Shilai, but when the mishkon was brought to Shiloh, neesru abomes. The other places, the other altars, became osir. That no longer were we allowed to make mizboches, altars in other places. And that was called menucha. The Torah says that you're allowed to bring sacrifices in other places until you come to your menucha and nachalo, to your final peace and your final inheritance. So Shilei was called menucha. Then, when the mishkan moved from Shilei and came to Neven Givain, hutra abomes. Then again we were allowed to sacrifice all over. And then when the mishkan moved from Neve Givon and came to Yerushalayim, Neasru Abomes. Then the Bomes, all other altars, became forbidden forever. Why? Because that was called Nachalo. That was called the final inheritance. And Rashi brings here, the Iha Yisar Nachalo. Ahi Dixiv Bikro, the Mishubo, Ela Menucha, Vela Nachalo Yosar Abomesh. The Torah said that you can sacrifice in other places until you come to your Menucha and your Nachalo, to your resting place and your final inheritance. Yerushalayim was the final inheritance. Therefore, once the Beis Hamikdash was built there, no longer were we allowed to sacrifice in any other place. So, as long as we had the Beis Hamikdash, we could fulfill this mitzvah of sacrifices. But once it was destroyed, then this mitzvah was unable to be fulfilled. So therefore, it's been over 2,000 years that Klal Yisrael has not been able to fulfill this mitzvah. The pale, in actuality, in reality. Therefore, no doubt this is one of the reasons why this concept of a sacrifice can be very foreign to a person. However, there is much that we can learn from this. As we see, the Torah has given it, sets priority, and has spent so many halachos referring to this. Let's see this evening, perhaps, if we can gain an insight or two into what this mitzvah is and what are some of its concepts. The first principle that we may learn, the Torah tells us, Vayikra el Meisha, Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'amat alehem, speak to the children of Israel, Odim ki yakriv mekem korban l'Hashem, that a person who wants to bring a sacrifice to Hashem, min habehema, min habokar, min hatzein takriv es korbanchem, he can bring it from an animal, from the herd, or from the sheep. A zevach is a sacrifice that came from an animal. It could come from the herd, the cattle, it could come from the sheep or the goats. Then there was an oath, a sacrifice that came from a bird. Then there was a mincha, which came from wheat, a meal offering. Then there was a nesach, a liquid offering, which came from water, from wine. And one time during the year on Sukkot from water. These sacrifices were brought to the holiest place that we have on this earth. Because the Mishnah Masechet Kelim tells us, Asara Kedusha Shem, there are 10 levels of sanctity on this earth. Where Eretz Yisrael is more Mekudosh, is more sanctified than other lands. Certain cities in Eretz Yisrael are more sanctified than other cities. Yerushalayim is more sanctified than all other cities. And different areas in Yerushalayim are more sanctified than others. And the place of the Beis HaMikdash is more sanctified. And in the Beis HaMikdash, areas were subdivided. Until finally you come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the innermost sanctum part of the Beis HaMikdash, which there was the Oren HaKodesh, where the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote was kept, and the Shnei Luchei Sabris, the tablets. And this was in a place where was the Evan HaShasia, a stone which our sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from that place. Now sacrifices were brought. They weren't brought to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they were brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and they were brought to the Mizbeach, to the altar. Now here we're taking an animal. We're taking a bull or a cow, or a sheep or a goat, or a bird, or some wheat, or some wine, and we're bringing it to the most sanctified place that we have on this earth. And it becomes sanctified. The halacha is that before a person brought a korban, he was magdishut. He sanctified it. He set it aside that this shall be a korban, a sacrifice, and it became kodesh. And once it became kodesh, he was not allowed to do anything else with it. All kind of halachas, all kind of mesechtas. You weren't allowed to use it for a dvar chol. You weren't allowed to use it for something which was not kodesh. Weren't allowed to work it, the animal. How is it possible that one would think that if you want to bring something to Hashem, if you want to bring something to a place of such kedusha, so it must have a great standard of kedusha to begin with. And here you're taking something which is an animal. Or you're taking something which grows in the earth. There cannot be anything more earthly than that. And this is what the Torah commanded us to bring a sacrifice from. So this is a question. This is a wonder. It's a paradox. What do we learn from here? From here we learn the Torah's viewpoint of what a person has the power to do. You know, there were different approaches, different ideologies, different philosophies throughout the years, always constantly, on how to bring man to his perfection, or how to serve the Almighty, or how to serve some other type of power. In our generations, we have plenty of isms and ideologies floating around. And basically, there were two. There was one approach where man should indulge in the physical world. He should take from the physical world, utilize the physical world. This was the approach of materialism, the material world. And there was another approach that since man was given a spirit, so he should separate himself from the materialistic world. And he should pursue the spiritual world. Not materialism, but spiritualism. These were two approaches. You had nations like Mitzrayim, Egypt, or Yovan, the Greek Empire, or Edom, the Roman Empire, that became masters of the material world. not only masters of the material world, but were they sunk into the depths, the lowly depths of the material world. You had other beliefs that were prushim. They separated themselves as much as a man could separate himself from the material level to seek higher spheres. He escaped from the so-called prison of the physical world. Now these were the drochim. The sages tell us that these were the approaches of the komrim, of the priests of idolatry. And we find it throughout generations, and we find it even today, that were such religions, there are such religions. The komrei avedah zarah, where they separated themselves from everything that was material. They fasted, didn't indulge in food. They became nazirim, Nazarites, where they wouldn't indulge in wine. They never married in order to separate themselves from women. And many times they would go in isolation. So you have here two directions. The Rambam, which we have often quoted, in Hilchos Deos, Perek Gimel, right? Shema Yemer Odom Oil VaAkina VaTayve VaKoved VuKiyetsa Behem Derech Rohein. Perhaps a person will say that since jealousy and desires and lusts and passions, BeKoved and the seeking of honor, is a Derech Roh, is an evil way. UMeitzinas Odom in Oilam, and they drive a person out of this world. Efreish Mehen BeYaser. Therefore, I will separate myself from this entirely, and I will go to the other extreme, until I will not eat meat and I will not drink wine and I will not marry a woman, I will not live in a nice home, I will not wear nice clothing, I will wear just sackcloth or very, very rough wool. For example, like the priests of the idolaters. This also is a derech roh. Just as one is not allowed to become lost into the, in this world, kino, the jealousy and passion and honor, the seeking of honor, when it takes over, when it takes control of a person, is meitzinus odem min ha'olam, it'll drive a person out from this world. But at the same time, one is not allowed to separate himself from this world. Gam zeh derech rohi, this is a very evil way, ve'osa leilech bo. Ha'mahalef b'derech zu nikro chayta, someone who walks in this way is a chayta, he's a sinner. Because the Torah says by a nozir, that the nozir, the one who abstained from wine, the Torah says that he has to bring a kapora, he has to bring a sacrifice for forgiveness. Omru Chachomim, the sages said, The Nozer only separated himself from wine, Sorech Kapora. He needs forgiveness. So someone who separates himself from everything or from anything, so how much more so will he need forgiveness? Therefore the sages commanded that we shall not abstain from that which the Torah has not forbade to us. And a person should not make vows or oaths or fast days and so forth more than what the Torah commanded. So we have these two approaches, and neither is the approach of the Torah. So what then did the Torah command us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both worlds. He created the physical world and he created the spiritual world. He did not create the physical world for a person to wallow in it. But on the other hand, he did not create the physical world either for a person to reject. We do not find in the Torah where it rejects the physical creation. To the contrary, this was the great masterpiece and handiwork of the Almighty. The physical world and the spiritual world were created as a unit. Not where one should be rejected over the other, but they were created as a unit. And we find this when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Parshas Bereishis, states in Bereishis Beis Pasuk Daled, Ela told us Hashemayim va'aretz bihibaro. These are the generations of the heavens and earth when he created them. Rashi brings a net posuk. Bihibarom behei borom shenemar b'koh Hashem sur elomim bebeis esius halolu shel Hashem yotzar shnei elomim. Bihibarom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the hay of His name. B'koh Tzur Hashem Elomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the creation with the Yud and the Hey of His name. With the Yud He created Olam Haba, the spiritual world, and with the Hey He created the physical world. He used the letters of His name. We don't see that He created the spiritual world with His name and not the physical world, or vice versa. He created both with His name. With the Yud He created the spiritual world, and with the Hey He created the physical world. Both were created by Him, and His name was placed in both worlds. A little further, it states in Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adama Vayipach Ba'atav Nishmaskai. When the Almighty came to create man, also He created him from two worlds. It states that He was formed from the dust of the earth, from the physical world, and He blew in His nostrils a living soul from the spiritual world. And only then did He become this Bria, this creation of Adam. Man was not created from the spiritual world. He was not created from the physical world. He was created from both worlds. Ofer min Adama, dust from the physical earth, and Nishmas Chaim, a soul from above. And the mezigo, the combination of two into one, this unit, made Him into man. Rashi tells us in that pasuk, "Shtei yitzires." It states "vayitzer" with two yuds. "Vayitzer" should be spelled with one yud. There are two yuds. "Shtei yitzires." He was a double creation. Yitzira leilam azev, yitzira d'tchias amesim. He was a creation for this world, and he's a creation for the world beyond. But when Hashem created an animal, it also states Vayitzar, but there only one Yud, because he was only a creation for this world. But man, who encompassed both worlds, he was a creation for this world and he lives on in the next world. Therefore he was given two creations. Therefore Vayitzar, he was created with two Yuds. So again we see, man is not limited to the physical world, he's not limited to the spiritual world. He encompasses both worlds. It's for this reason, to become entirely engrossed in the materialistic world is wrong. Because he was created with a spiritual soul also. On the other hand, to become entirely engrossed in the spiritual world and to leave this world is also raw. Gam hi derech raw, the Rambam writes. This also is an evil way. Because he was created from this world also. He was a combination of both worlds. And both worlds HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and with his name. The spiritual world with the yud and the physical world with the hay. Maybe you better close the door. So if man is not supposed to attach himself entirely to the material world, and he's not supposed to, on the other hand, escape the material world and attach himself to the spiritual world, so then what is the derech? What is the proper direction? The proper direction is man is supposed to utilize both worlds. Both worlds. Bring peace between both worlds. And how is that? He was given the physical world to elevate to the level of the spiritual world. Now one might think that there are two worlds which are miles apart. They have no link between them. No affinity. Not so. He was given a physical world to elevate to the greatest heights of the spiritual world. And to the contrary, that's the only way that he can grow to great heights in ruchnius, in spirituality. If he would try any other way, he would fail. Those were the derech hakemri evarezora. Those were the ways of the priests of the idolatry. So man's duty and man's obligation and man's purpose in this world is to work in the physical world. But not become lost in the physical world. Not to go down to the level of the physical world. But to stay in the physical world and uplift it and elevate it to the level of the spiritual world. Not to go down to the level of the physical world and not to leave the physical world for the spiritual. But to take the physical world and elevate it. But can man do such a thing? Yes, he can. And the greatest illustration of this was the sacrifice. A person wants to bring a sacrifice to Hashem. He wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most sanctified way and in the most sanctified place, Odom ki yakri mikem korban, you want to bring a korban? Min ha-behema. You bring it from the animal. Min ha-tzein, from the sheep. Min ha-boker, from the cattle. Min ha-tzein, from the sheep. A plain animal that is very far from the spiritual world, very far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be uplifted, can be raised up, where it becomes korban l'Hashem, a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where it can become Kodesh, sanctified. Where he says, Harezu Kodesh, this is Kodesh and it's sanctified. where it's brought to the most sanctified place, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. And it's Eile Ishei Reach Nicheach Lashem. And it goes up as a fire, as a Reach Nicheach, ascent to Hashem from the earth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the avoda, the basic avodas HaKorbonos, to take from the earth and to uplift it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why we find that even though the Torah has far outreached greater heights, reaches to greater heights than any other philosophy can dream to reach, still it's never rejected this world. For example, it states Derech Eretz Kodma L'Teira. The Gemara tells us Derech Eretz, what is Derech Eretz? So the Chazal are Mavara, the Maral is Mavara. Derech Eretz is everything that a person has to do Basher Hu Odom, because he's an earthly man. There are many things that we might not want to do, or we would not have to do if we were not Dore Mato, if we didn't live on this earth. If we were angels, we wouldn't have to do it. We wouldn't have to eat if we were angels, we wouldn't have to drink, and so forth. But everything that a man must do or should do, Ba'asher Hu Odom, because he lives on this earth, so this is placed under the heading of Derech Eretz. Derech Kolo Oretz. The way that people should deal because they live on this earth. They're not mitzvahs. Mitzvahs we do because, not we live on this earth, but because we have a spiritual soul. Derech Eretz is because we live on this earth. We're a member of the human earthly race. The Gemara says, Derech Eretz Kodma L'Teira. The halachas of Derech Eretz were given before the Torah was given. And a person must study the halachas of Derech Eretz before Torah. This is what the Gemara tells us. Because first he has to be an Odom. First he has to be the earthly being, before he can come to be the spiritual being. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man offer mina adoma. First he made him dust from the earth. And then he blew into his nostrils a nishmas chayim, a living soul. So first he must be an earthly man. So that's an example where the Torah did not negate or close its eyes to this world. Another example. The Gemara brings Kol Areya Peiri Noya Ve'enanana Mimeno Heimeno Osiditene Sadin. If a person sees a very beautiful fruit and he doesn't taste of it, he's going to have to give a din and cheshbon. He's going to have to answer why in the next world. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a beautiful world and you're not partaking, you're rejecting his world. You have to answer why. What do you mean this world was to be rejected? Not so. The world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's here for a purpose. Another example, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the great Reb Shimon ben Yochai. When he had to flee from the Romans, he went and hid in a cave. He hid there for 7 years. And there he studied day and night, he studied Torah. He and his son. And came to the highest levels of Torah. When he finally came out of the cave, he looked around and he saw people working the earth, this world. He became enraged. How's it possible to give away a life for this world? He became so attached to the spiritual world. And he became so enraged that whenever he saw this, a fire went out from him. And what he saw was consumed in fire. Yotzer Baskol, a voice from heaven came down and said, go back in the cave. Have you come to destroy my world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. He sent him back into the cave. So those are a few illustrations. It is for this reason the emesis, this is the direction of all of our mitzvahs that we are given. Most of our mitzvahs can be fulfilled only here with the physical world. We're given a mitzvah of tefillin. The tefillin is made from a behemah. We're given a mitzvah of esrog and lulav. These are plants that grow. But the korbanos were even greater, because the korbanos came even to a higher level of sanctity than even these keftzei mitzvahs, these particular types of mitzvahs. It's for this reason that the korbanos were called shlomim. They were called shalom. They bring peace to the world. Rashi brings a little further in the parsha. In Vayikra Gimel Posuk Vav, the im min hatzayin korbanei lezevach shlomim lashem. If a person wants to bring shlomim, there's a korban, a sacrifice, which is called shlomim. Shlomim means peace. So Rashi tells us shematilin shol shlomim ba'elum, because they bring peace to the world. Dovache sheyesh bem shalom lemizbeach lekahanim lebailim. Sacrifices only were burnt on the altar. Others, a portion went to the kahanim to eat. Others, a portion went to the owner of the sacrifice also. Shlomim had all three. Some went to the altar, some went to the kahanim, some went to the owner. So that's why it was called shlomim, because it brought peace to everyone. Everyone was happy and satisfied. Everyone had a part of it. The mizbeah, the altar which represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kahanim, and Yisrael. And therefore, it was called shlomim. And Rashi also brings, it brought, therefore, shalom to the world. The guy he brings, that in Teres Kahanim, here we darshan, not only shlomim, it states zevach shlomim. So the Teres Kahanim darshans, zevach shlomim, kol ma sha'ato zeveach, nik mevi shalom. Kol ma shato zeveach, whatever you will sacrifice, zevach means to slaughter, to sacrifice, whatever you will sacrifice brings shalom, brings peace. So we see that the sacrifices were called shalom, they brought peace. Why? Because peace means a unity. They brought unity between these two worlds, because these two worlds are at odds with each other. The material world is contrary to the spiritual world, and the spiritual world is contrary to the material world. And by Klal Yisrael, when they brought a sacrifice, they brought the two worlds together. They took from the material world an animal, or they took wheat, and they brought it to the highest heights of the spiritual world. Therefore, it was Mevi Shalom Ba'elam. They brought the two worlds together. It is for this reason also that we find that the Kahanim also were symbolic, also were associated with Shalom. For example, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Pinchas, "Hine ani neisin lechoes brishi Shalom. I make my covenant of Shalom with you." We find in the Birchas Kahanim, it's Messiah B'Shalom. The Birchas Kahanim, which the Kahanim were commanded to bless a Klal Yisrael every day, it ends with Shalom. B'Yoseim Lecho Shalom, you shall have peace. We find with Aaron HaKohen, in the Mishnah Masechta Oves, Hevi Mitalmideim Shel Aaron HaKohen, you should make yourself disciples of Aaron.
Who was the Kain Godel? He was the first Kain. Ohev Shalom, Vereidev Shalom. He loved peace, he pursued peace. Ohev Habriyes Umekarven LeTorah. He loved the people and he brought them close to Torah. So we see that Kahanim consistently are associated with peace. Why? Because they were the ones who were more involved in the korbonis, the process of the sacrifices, than anyone else. And if sacrifices were bringing peace between the worlds, so certainly then they also have to be able to bring peace between the worlds. And the Medrash tells us, where do we see that Aaron was such an Aev Shalom V'Raidev Shalom, that he was such a lover of peace? So the Medrash tells us that he used to be heavily involved in this. When he would hear that two people were fighting, he would go and try to resolve the issue. When he would hear that there was a ketotah, there was dispute, and there was the dissension in a person's home between a man and a wife, he would go and try to resolve it. See, he was always Eiv Shalom or Eidiv Shalom. And he was Makarven Abrius, Eivas Abrius or Makarven Leteira. He loved every Jew. And if he heard that a Jew was going far away from Torah, he would go after him and try to bring him back close to Torah. And the Medrash tells us even further. He used to go to all kinds of extremes to do this. It says that once a woman became very angry at her husband, or vice versa, and they made a vow that one, I forgot which one it was, they made a vow that they would never come back to the home, to their home, until the other one would spit into the eye of the Kohen Gadol of the high priest. And Aaron heard about this. So he went to that person and he said that he has been inflicted with a disease, and the doctor said that if someone will spit in his eye, it will give him a refuah, it'll cure him. He went to all types of extremes. The Medrash brings. Now, this is easy for us to understand from this aspect, but there's a great kashi here, a great question. If you learn through the parsha of Tetzaveh, where we learn of the big day Kain Godel, the garments of the Kain Godel. The Kain Godel was given such beautiful garments and such special garments. And if we learn of the Avod of the Kain Godel, the high priest was the most sanctified of all of the Kahanim. And he was in the Beis HaMikdash most of his time. And there's all kind of halachos of what the Kain Godel was not allowed to do. He had to be careful when he went out. He was not even allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash to go to a funeral of a close relative. All kind of shailas with him. Can he sit shiva? Can he be an ovel? Is he allowed to be in mourning? And when it came Yom Kippur, he was the only one that went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the most holy place. And all kind of halachas and mesechtas. So one would think that the Kohen Gadol was and should be engrossed entirely in spiritualism. He's a person that must detach himself from this world in total. Now this is the same Aaron HaKohen that we're talking about here, that was Eiv Sholem, Vereidev Sholem. Not only did he love peace, he used to pursue peace. Eiv Es Abrius. He used to go out, and when he would hear of someone going away from Torah, he would go after that person to bring him back. And if he would hear of machlekes, of dissension, he would go and make the peace. It seems to be totally contrary to the if the world, their concept of a Kain Godel was a concept of a person who was misbeided, Umufrash, where he was in isolation and separation. And this is where the Goyim get it from. And unfortunately, even amongst Jews there's been such directions. One of the great Gaonim writes that how was Aaron capable of this? He writes Aaron had to be capable of that. Because it was the Kohen's Avodah to from earth to make the highest degrees of Kedusha. They weren't given the task of separating themselves from this world in order to become sanctified to Hashem. That wasn't their avodah. That wasn't their task. Their task was to take the lowest levels of this world, a behema, a tzein ubokor, and bring it to the highest levels possible. That was their task. And if Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, that means that he had a greater ingenious in this than anyone else. So then certainly he had the power to reach out to the furthest removed Jew and be Makarvan the Torah and to bring him up to Torah. If from an animal he could bring him to the Mizbeach Hashem, then for certainly he could bring another neshama close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or he could bring, and if he could bring shalom between the two worlds, between the physical world and the spiritual world, so then certainly the midah of shalom, the quality of shalom was ingrained in him, where he pursued peace amongst Jews. This is one very, very great concept that we learn from Korbanos. A second concept, which follows this concept, is the purpose was not only to take this world and to elevate it, but there was a further purpose, a more specific purpose. And that was, Ish ki yakriv mikem korban, a person who will bring a sacrifice, Lashem, to Hashem. The purpose was not only to elevate this world, but specifically to bring it to Hashem. When someone brought an animal, it wasn't merely an elevation, but it was Ishe Reach Nicheach Lashem. It went up. Ola Reach Nicheach Lashem. It went up to Hashem. What does this mean? The first principle is relative to what we are speaking now, is that everything by nature wants to return to its source. This is a natural principle in the creation. Everything seeks to return to its source, to be Chesel al Kadmusay. And therefore, everything in this world seeks to return to its source, which is its master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate source of the world. We've gone into this at length, that this is what it means, that Hashem Echad. There can only be one source. If you have two sources, you have not found the true origin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true Echad. He is the true origin of the entire world, of the entire creation. And since everything desires and seeks and yearns to return to its source, where it came from, then everything ultimately wants to direct itself back to the true origin, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Klal Yisrael were given the task to direct the world back to its origin. And just like Klal Yisrael is the nation which says the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, where they declare amidst all of the controversy, amongst all of the atheism, all of the philosophies, all of the ideologies, all of the idolatries, they constantly declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He is the only origin of the world. And they're the living declaration for this. They were given the task to direct everything back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara tells us that the Beis Hamikdash represents Achdus, the Achdus of Hashem. Why? Because if this one sacrifices this way, and this one sacrifices this way, this one serves his way, another way. This one sacrifices on this bomb in this place, and another on another place. You have no Achdus, you have no singleness, you have no unity. Mishabona Beis HaMikdash Nesru Kol HaBomes. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, Klal Yisrael was not allowed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere except from the Beis HaMikdash. This unified all of Yisrael, this unified the entire world. The Medrash says that the nations of the world, they have Harbe Kemrim, they have many, many priests, many cardinals, many bishops, many mizboches, many altars, many ways. Klal Yisrael, Kain Godl Echad. We never are allowed to have more than one Kain Godl. Mizbeach Echad. There's only one Mizbach Ha'ela. One altar. Migdosh Echad. This is a hero, a declaration, a unity of direction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to this place where the world was created. The altar was built in the place where man was created from. We're getting close to his origin. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim was where the world was created from, the Evan Shasir. This is the origin of the world. And Klal Yisrael was given the task to unify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to direct the world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This also was the direction of the Korbonis. Everything seeks to return to its source. Klal Yisrael would take a behema, an animal, a tzein, bokor, and make it a korban l'Hashem. Not only they would elevate it, but they would return it to its source. And it would be Eile Reach Nicheach Lashem. It would go up to Hashem. This was a greater unification of the worlds. This was a unification of this world, and then being Mechaber and unifying this world with the next world. All to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To give us a little more depth in this, the Maral writes in the Sefer Ner Mitzvah that we mentioned before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the two worlds, one with the Yud and one with the Hay. The world, the next world with the Yud, the spiritual world with the Yud, and this world, the materialistic world with the Hay. Why? The spiritual world with the Yud, because Yud, the Gemara says, is a Nakuda. If you write just a dot, that's a Yud. A yud does not have to have any dimensions. Just a dot, and that's a yud. So this is a letter which is of no dimension. That's the spiritual world. It has no physical dimension. Anything that's material must have a dimension, because that's the essence of materialism, where there's a substance, and the substance must have a dimension. But the spiritual world, which is not Eilam HaGashmi, not a materialistic world, so there's no dimension. Therefore, the letter which he created it with, one of the reasons is that the Yud is in the Kuda, the Yud has no dimension. This world was created with a hey. Why with a hey? A hey is a dalet and a yud. If you dissect a hey, you'll see it's made up of two letters. A dalet and a yud. Now the dalet, the Chazal tell us, represents this world, because a dalet is dimensions. A dalet is a line going from north to south and a line going from east to west. See, represents dimensions. So that's why it's this world. That explains why the dalet. But why also the yud? See? This world should have been created just with a dalet. Why a hay which is made up of a dalet and a yud? So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want this world to be floating around in space unattached to the spiritual world. He wanted this world joined to the spiritual world. Not that this world should be divorced. Therefore, the next world, he created the spiritual world with a yud. This world he created with a dalet, but he put a yud also into this world, which is mechaber the two worlds, joins them together. And therefore, this world is attached to the next world, and it seeks to be attached to the next world. It seeks to return to the next world. And the Beis HaMikdash was the focal point. That was the capital of Klal Yisrael. That was the capital of Klal Yisrael's avoda, service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where every day avoda took place without exception. What was done in the Beis HaMikdash had ripples and influence in the entire world. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that had the Goyim known what the Beis HaMikdash did for them, they would have never destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because it brought brocha to the entire world. The Gemara says, for example, how or the light came from the Beis HaMikdash, light to the world came from the menorah. So this was the focal point. So when Klal Yisrael would take animals from this world, or take a substance from this world, and elevate it, and then direct it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to its source, not only were they bringing animals, they were bringing this world. They were bringing this world back to its source. Bringing this world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Gemara meant, that the Beis HaMikdash brought Achdus, brought a singleness, a Shalom into the world. It's for this reason that the Gemara tells us that every day there were two basic korbanos, two basic sacrifices. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Tomid shel shachar, the tomid shel ben arbayim. The one in the morning was sacrificed bezrichas hashemesh, as the sun was rising. And the one in the afternoon was sacrificed im dumdumei hashemesh, as the sun was setting. What was the reason? Because it was Klal Yisrael's task, responsibility, to join this world to the next world. As the sun rose, the sun represents the strength of the material world. The source of all energy, of all physical energy, comes from the sun. He's the melech of this world. As the sun was rising, bigvurase, what's its strength, that was the strong point of the physical world. So at that point, a sacrifice was brought to join the physical world to the spiritual world. As the sun was setting, and it was returning to its source, and now the world for the day was coming to an end, and also it was tied, linked to the spiritual world. It was linked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the beginning, when at the strength of its energies, and as it culminated, at both places, Klal Yisrael linked the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the reason why the word is called Korban. Korban is from the word Korev, to bring close. When a Korban was brought to Hashem, it brought this world close to Hashem. And also the one who brought the korban, if it was a private korban, the one who brought it, It had to be brought with his money, and it was called his korban. It brought him close to Hashem. Therefore, it was called korban. One final illustration of this. In the Sedra, in Pasuk, Vayikra Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel, it states, V'chol korban minchosecho ba'melech timloch. Whenever you bring a korban mincha, a meal offering, you must put salt on it. V'leithashbis melech bris elekecho me'al minchosecho. You shall never negate the covenant of Hashem that was made with the salt. And therefore, I'll call korbanecho takriv melech. Therefore, on every sacrifice, you must bring, put salt. Now, what covenant was made with the salt? Why must we put salt on all of the sacrifices? So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Shahabris krusa lemelech misheshi shemei breishis. This is an old covenant. It goes back to the creation of the world. The creation of the world, it states, on the second day. This is in Bosik Vov. The first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, in the first day, it states there was water. So the second day, it states, Vayom Elokim Yirokia B'Sei Chamoyim. Hashem said, let there be a rokia, a sky, in the middle of the water. V'mavdul Ben Maim L'Moyim, to divide between the waters and the waters. The first day there was water. But the water from the earth joined with the waters in the heaven. There was a total water, total mist. So the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, make a sky. We will make a sky which will divide the waters. Between Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Techtonim. We'll divide the upper waters from the lower waters. Now, incidentally, the Medrash asks that on every day it states Ki Tov. It was good. On Monday, which was the second day, it doesn't say Ki Tov. Why? So it gives a few reasons. But one reason is because there was division. There was machlekes, there was division. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided. Before the water was unified. Now he divided it. And division is machlekes, and that's not good. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say Ki Tov. That's what the Medrash says. But really there was more of a machlekes. There was a machlekes, a dispute, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Mayim Tachtenim, the lower waters, to go down. He came with a great complaint. He said, I want to be Mayim Elyonim. He says, I want to be the upper waters. Why are you sending me down? See? To be, the higher you are, the better you are. You're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, here I was part of a body of water, which was Elyonim, which was high up. And now you're dividing me and you're sending me down. He came with a great complaint and he wouldn't be appeased. So not only was there division, there was actually a machlekes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could appease him only in one way. He said, all right, if you go down, then I will see to it, I will guarantee you, that you will come up even higher than the Mayim Elyonim. So the Mayim says, if it's a guarantee, I'll accept it. So he made a bris, a covenant. And that was called the bris melech. What does it have to do with salt? Because the Chazal tell us that salt is water. Salt is basically water. Melts into water. It comes from the water. So this is what the bris krusa Rashi brings. Bris krusa the melech. There was a covenant made with the salt. Misheshish shemei breishis. During the time of the 6 days of creation. Shehuftechu hamayim atachteinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed, he promised the water, that if you'll divide yourself from the upper waters and you'll go down, then likorev b'mizbeach, you will be brought on the mizbeach, you'll be brought on the altar, ba'melech, in the form of salt, uvenisach hamayim, and also in the form of water. Both forms, in the form of salt and in the form of water. When on water, one time during the year, instead of bringing wine on the mizbeach, we bring water. When is that? Bechag and Sukkos. So that's why the Torah says, Leisashpis Brisa Melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be careful. He says, I made a deal, a covenant. Whenever you bring a korban, make sure there's salt. Because I promised that the lower waters will be brought back up high on the Mizbeach. So what does this mean? So the Maral in the Gurai writes, by nature, everything is created where it wants to go upward. Everything in this world tries to go upward. Even though the force of gravity is to the contrary. But what we mean is that eventually everything goes up. When something completely dissolves and something completely loses its physical form, its physical form keeps it in this world, but when it completely loses its physical form, so it becomes vapor. Becomes vapor, it evaporates, and everything goes upward. This is the nature of the creation. Why is this the nature of the creation? Because everything by nature wants to return to its source. The fact is, we see that only because of the force of gravity, that's why things stay on this world. There's an external force. But without the external force, there has to be the external force to keep it here. Otherwise, everything seeks to go upward. Why? Because everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything not only came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but is only a segment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a unit, a complete unit. It's not an independent unit. Everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is a section of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is dependent on Him. Therefore, everything seeks to return to its source, to where it came from, to what is dependent on. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Mayim, go down, He said, no, I don't want to go down. I want to be up. I want to be on high. Why are you making me go down? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you go down, I promise you that you will come up even higher. Why? Because the Mayim Elyonim, the upper waters, they're on high, not because through the efforts of man, through the efforts of Klal Yisrael, they became sanctified to that point. They're on high because this is how they were created. But if you will go down to the Olam HaTachta, into the physical world, you will become the waters of the physical world, then I promise you that you will gain even greater heights. Because Klal Yisrael will use you on the Mizbeach and the altar when they bring the physical world up to the spiritual world, when they join the two worlds. And then you will return, you will go on the Mizbeach Lashem, and you will be Eile Reach Nicheach Lashem. You will go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then you will go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not because that's where you were created. You will go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Avoda. You will go up through HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the efforts and perfection of man, which will bring you even to greater heights. This was the whole purpose of the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the soul refused to go into the body of a human being. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it that when you'll go down to this world, you will raise up even to greater heights through man's shleimus, through man's perfections, through man's efforts and his avodas Hashem. Therefore, when the melech, when the salt heard that, he said, all right. So therefore, a bris krusha, a covenant was made that since you agreed to go down to this world, you will be put on every sacrifice, both in the form of salt and in the form of and yantif and sukkis in the form of water, and you will gain even greater heights. So this gives us a little further insight that when Klal Yisrael were bringing korbonos, this wasn't a matter of bringing animals to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the animals. They were joining two worlds together. They were bringing this world and uplifting it. They were bringing this world and elevating it and joining it to its source. And through this, they were bringing Klal Yisrael to its source. It's a korban that was brought close Klal Yisrael and the entire world, because this was the central point, the focal point of the entire world, the Beis HaMikdash. And the entire creation seeks to return to its source. Except the external forces prevent it from returning, both physical and spiritual. Klal Yisrael were given the task to unify the worlds, to bring out the singleness, the achdus, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to escape from this world and go into the spiritual world, and not to leave the spiritual world to become, to drown in the physical world. But to take both worlds that were created with both letters of Hashem's name and to make one from them. The avodah of the Kahanim to bring Shalom to the world. This is why that Zevach Shlomim Kol Ma Shatah Zeveach, whatever you will sacrifice to Hashem, maybe Shalom La'elam brings peace to the world. It brought a oneness, a unity. There are many, many deep concepts and deep secrets in the Avedis HaKorbonis. It's one of the deepest and most concealed parts of the Torah. But this perhaps opens a little window for us to give us some insight into this parsha and into this sefer which we are now starting to learn. May we be zeicher to see Klal Yisrael fulfill its task of bringing Shalom to this world and to the two worlds together.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.